Friday on CNN 10, and that's pretty awesome. I'm Carl Azus. Last show of the week takes us to Eastern Africa, where the nation of Ethiopia is being torn apart by civil war, and the nations around it are calling for a ceasefire. Ethiopia is no stranger to strife. Poverty, political struggles, ethnic tensions, they've been problems in this nation for decades. A group called the TPLF, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, it ruled Ethiopia until a few years ago. On one hand, the TPLF brought relative stability and economic growth to the country. On the other, it limited Ethiopian civil and political rights. A popular uprising forced its leader to resign in 2018, and a new prime minister named Abiy Ahmed was appointed. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts to bring reforms to Ethiopia and to end a long-running conflict it had with Eritrea, its neighbor to the north. But political tensions remained between his government and the TPLF. And last year, after the group held elections in the northern region of Tigray without the central government's permission, back-and-forth retaliations between the two sides led to armed conflict. Thousands have died. More than 2 million Ethiopians have been forced to leave their homes. The United Nations says famine conditions have set in for hundreds of thousands. And though Prime Minister Abiy said civilians weren't being harmed at the start of the conflict, evidence started coming out early this year that numerous atrocities, including mass killings of civilians, have occurred in Ethiopia. All sides involved have been accused of committing war crimes. Some of them have been linked to Ethiopian soldiers. Some have been linked to groups from Eritrea. That nation says it's not involved in the atrocities, and Ethiopia's government has promised to investigate any wrongdoing. The fighting has spread beyond the region of Tigray, and analysts say Ethiopia's civil war threatens to cause instability throughout the Horn of Africa.
Through a year of bloody conflict, Ethiopia's crisis was centered mostly here, in Tigray, the far north. That's changing fast. Tigray Defense Force rebels shown in Desi this week, just 250 miles from Addis Ababa. They are threatening to move on the capital, and in an unlikely alliance, they've joined up with the Oromo Liberation Army that has links to the country's largest ethnic group. United against this man, Prime Minister and Nobel Peace Prize winner Abiy Ahmed promised the conflict would be swift. Now he's asking citizens to take up arms to defend Addis, and the nation is in a state of emergency. But this conflict has embarrassed Abiy and threatens the very makeup of Ethiopia, a key U.S. ally in the region. The U.S. has sent a senior diplomat to try and stave off a collapse.
We are gravely concerned by the escalating violence, by the expansion of the fighting that we've seen in northern Ethiopia and in regions throughout the country. We are concerned with the growing risk to the unity and the integrity of the Ethiopian state.
The conflict has been marked by allegations of awful human rights atrocities and indiscriminate killings, highlighted by CNN's reporting. And the government is accused of withholding food aid to desperate Tigrayans facing famine, something they deny.
We have reasonable grounds to believe that during this period, all parties to the Tigray conflict have committed violations of international human rights, humanitarian and refugee law. Some of these may amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity.
Abiy came into power promising to unite Ethiopians under a new national identity. He squeezed the Tigrayans out of political power. But Ethiopia is a fragile collection of regions, often with their own ethnic loyalties and militias. And Abiy's military strike on Tigray, after their attempt to break away from federal control, set up this titanic struggle. On Wednesday, the capital was calm, people going about their business as usual. An Ethiopian government official blamed the international media for an alarmist narrative. But the sight of these rebels calmly walking through a major city, far from Tigray, gives no doubt that Abiy is under threat.
10-second trivia. An invention of the 1950s called Unimate was the world's first what? Electric typewriter, robot, computer, or coffee maker? American inventor George C. Duval devised the first programmable robot in 1954. Though they've been around a while, robots have not taken over all the jobs in America. Looking toward the future, financial news site Business Insider says there's going to be demand for nurse practitioners, information security analysts, construction managers, industrial engineers, and all of these professions can pay more than $85,000 a year. There's also extraordinary demand for factory workers, people in manufacturing. The industry reported this spring that it had more than 500,000 job openings nationwide, and in some cases, you don't even need experience to get your foot in the door.
Across America, efforts are underway to build a skilled workforce of the future as the country faces a labor shortage.
Our job is to create a solution to fill that skills gap.
That's why the National Association of Manufacturers and its nonprofit workforce development and education partner, the Manufacturing Institute, have launched a nationwide campaign called Creators Wanted, which includes multiple tour stops and online learning, all aimed at encouraging young Americans to explore careers in modern manufacturing.
All roads lead back to manufacturing. Those high-skilled, high-technology jobs are what enable us to make the world a better place.
A study by Deloitte and the Manufacturing Institute found that the manufacturing skills gap in the U.S. could result in more than 2 million unfilled jobs by 2030 and potentially cost the economy up to $1 trillion.
We should definitely be going along with them in a very systematic manner to build up the skill level of workforce to compete, and other countries are doing that.
Manufacturing executives say some people are reluctant to work in factories, in part because of fears about robots taking over and jobs getting shipped overseas. But educators say programs like the Creators Wanted Tour could help put students at ease.
Young people can engage in those hands-on experiences to teach them and to expose them to the various careers that exist within any profession.
A chance for some of our nation's youth to consider jobs that they never knew could be theirs.
Manufacturing is more than what everyone thinks it is.
Tymir Lohman recently took part in the tour and plans to eventually start his own clothing line.
It gave me a different look on everything. It gives me something that I can think about for the rest of my life with my business or any other business.
Providing students with skills that could help them succeed in the 21st century. In Washington, I'm Chris Wynn.
Usually the idea on Halloween is that kids show up to collect candy. These three fifth graders in Rhode Island dropped it off. Homeowner Kristen Wells had left out a bowl with one of those take one or two signs, but when the boys got there, there was nothing left in the bowl. So thinking that other kids who trick-or-treated here would be disappointed to find it empty, they each took out some of the candy they had gathered and filled the bowl back up. Now that's sweet. Oh, sure, some trolleys may snicker about it and say the Three Musketeers were nerds or yorks or call the whole candy idea corny, but that's rude, baby, rude. Betwixt you and me, it takes mounds of good and plenty kindness, a starburst and a whopper of almond joy to make other ranchers feel jolly now and later. They went beyond what is reasonable, and some might even say they're lifesavers. I'm Carl Azus, and before we skittle-daddle, we want to give a shout-out to Chester Area High School, our viewers watching from Chester, South Dakota.